Fall is just around the corner, and home is the center of it all. At Ashley, seasonal decorating's a breeze with their range of designs and materials. Snuggle up on a family-friendly sectional or an ultra-modern sofa. Or gather outside and enjoy the crisp, cool air with a new fire pit or conversation set. From minor refreshes to total overhauls, Ashley has the essentials to make your home fall functional and fabulous. Shop in-store or visit ashley.com today.
Is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Oh yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yeah, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Take charge of your upgrades at T-Mobile.com.
Phone now via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. 1 year upgrade requires financing, qualifying device and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
I try to tell you, when it comes to predictions, man, if we knew what was going to happen, we wouldn't watch. Also, the whole narrative, the kind of joke, the tongue-in-cheek promotion that the NFL has going on right now about the script writers. Oh, no, it's clear. They have no clue what's going on. And this is not what the NFL wants. The NFL does not want Aaron Rodgers to be out for the season. The Aaron Rodgers storyline has given them so much has given them a lot of legs, extra legs. All right, that sounded awkward. It's given them a ton of attention, and especially having a star and a controversial figure of his caliber in New York. Oh, yeah. In the eyes of the NFL, it's like a match made in heaven. And then to have him go out four snaps into their very first nationally televised game. You guys, they have more than 10 games expected to be on national TV this year. Ooh, I wonder if they're going to get flexed out in favor of the Detroit Lions. It's kind of an interesting thing to think about following week number one. And I know the dust is still settling. And we spent most of the first 2 hours, the first half of the show, on not just the game between the Bills and the Jets, because it had some pretty incredible twists and turns, some good drama if you're into that sort of thing. You know I am. But also the injury to Aaron and the problems for Josh Allen. But to think about the teams that we saw this weekend who lost and which ones played the worst. And where you find hope for those who might be able to turn it around versus those who you don't think can. Now, I personally am not worried about the Kansas City Chiefs. They looked brutal in their loss to Detroit. Give the Lions defense credit. But they also had self-inflicted wounds. And remember, they had 6 drops, multiple drops by Kadarius Toney, who had his head coach Andy Reid vouching for him on Monday.
I would probably take the blame on that. I mean, the kid, when I said that after the game, I meant that. He missed all the training camp from honestly the first punt return pre-practice on through. So he literally had no training camp until just the last few days when we got back here. He did some, and we measured that. We didn't give him a lot. But with that, I thought him getting in the game was important. But to be fair, I've got to kind of look in the mirror on that one. That I probably didn't put him in the best position there because he doesn't drop the ball. I mean, that's just not his deal. He's a very, very secure catcher. And I just think that the only way we're going to get him back is playing him. I think this week will be different than the last week. But I thought it was important that he got in the game, got caught up on the speed, But I probably put him in bad positions, in primary positions there.
Andy Reid taking the blame, at least part of the blame, on himself because maybe KT wasn't ready. He didn't have much of a training camp. He was injured. So maybe he wasn't ready. And yet Andy says, yeah, we kind of felt like he needed just to dive into the deep end and get at least a little bit wet so that he could be ready for what's to come. They actually are on the road at Jacksonville this week. So it does not get any easier for the Kansas City Chiefs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The Chargers put up a ton of points while we're talking AFC West, but they also gave up a lot of points and a lot of yardage. Tua Tagovailoa, 466 yards passing. This is in Los Angeles. There were some monster plays by the Miami defense. Remember coming up with a big sack of Justin Herbert late to be able to end the threat. But there were also some pretty incredible offensive moments for Herbert and the Chargers. I mean, they had nearly 450 yards of offense, half of which was rushing yards. Austin Eckler with a big day. Clear that he is primed and ready for another massive campaign, a major, whether it's rushing, whether it's receiving, major impact on his team this year. But the Chargers really struggled to keep up with Tyreek Hill. I mean, welcome to the program. Welcome to the parade, Chargers. And not every team has that kind of a threat. Not every team has that kind of a speedy weapon. But yeah, they gave up a lot of points and a lot of yards. So I wonder about the Chargers and their defense. The Steelers, the Bengals, I do think the offenses will improve. All right, so the Niners and the Browns played incredible defense. And it's clear that for the most part, the defenses were ahead of the offenses in week number one. The Dallas Cowboys actually put up a 40-point shutout, right? So there were a lot of sacks. There were a lot of turnovers in week number one. I have confidence in both the Bengals and the Steelers to look much more in sync on offense as we head through this first month of the season. Eagles, same thing. Why? Because they start with the O-line and with running the football. Because they've got a lot of weapons. It's not as though they all of a sudden forgot how to use them, how to incorporate them. They just didn't have a great rhythm early either. Actually, I really like the way the Patriots played to end this game. Mac Jones, he was airing it out. So I think the Bill O'Brien impact on the Patriots offense will be significant this season. There was weather in a bunch of different places. Like Peyton Manning tells us, you got weather.
You got weather.
The teams that are starting the rookie quarterbacks, those will be a work in progress. And the expectations are relatively low for those teams anyway. The Giants, I kind of wonder about with the offensive line. Now, the teams that have the major O-line issues, those make me nervous. Because that's something that while, yeah, they can find a better cohesion and consistency, they can get better playing together. The Giants have spent so much time and effort, not to mention money, trying to shore up their offensive line. And it last year was better, but not great. And this was supposed to be a step up. It's game number one, but this was lopsided from the beginning. And we talk about Josh Allen being under siege. Goodness, Daniel Jones was getting blasted. I don't know about the Bears either. I mean, Justin Fields, he was back at it. 275 total yards. But I don't know what else. I mean, they've got a couple of guys that you could feel confident in. it still, to me, feels like a work in progress with Chicago. The Vikings, then this was, I think, more of an aberration. You don't often see them play the ball possession game, but they did with the Bucs. And they left a lot of opportunities out there. I mean, Kirk Cousins still had nearly 350 yards passing. And Justin Jefferson was, I mean, he was almost half of that. He still just, although a lot of that came in the first half. But yeah, there were fumbles. There were turnovers. I don't know that they missed Dalvin Cook. And Baker Mayfield played really well. The Bucs' offensive line played really well. He had no turnovers. So I can see some of these teams that just got out there and were kind of, they were searching. They were attempting to find that rhythm, and it just, they haven't taken enough snaps yet this summer, because it is still officially summer. Always, I say the first month of the season, really the first 6 weeks of the season, is a race to consistency. Which teams can find that groove, can get comfortable with one another and be on the same page. And those that get there quickly and find some consistency quickly, where it's not good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, positive, negative, where it becomes more positive and more good than the other. Those are the teams that generally start to separate themselves. The Titans, yeah. Here's the thing. Ryan Tannehill, even if he didn't play a lot in the preseason, he's a veteran. And this, I know this makes people really nervous, because he is prone to stretches where he just can't seemingly throw the ball to his own team. And so his three interceptions, I mean, they were a big difference for the Saints. 10 points for the Saints off his interceptions in the third quarter. And there have been a lot of questions, too, about the Titans. Why they're throwing the ball so much, right? Like, why aren't you using Derrick Henry? Why aren't you using your bell cow to set the tone as opposed to chucking the ball around as much? And Mike Vrabel's trying to answer that.
I don't think it's a new feature of the offense. We're just trying to get everybody involved and, you know, I think continue to find ways to get Tajay and Derek in there. Derek certainly gave us a chance to win and his performance, and so did Tajay. You know, tried to hit him a few times down the field. Certainly his average when he carried the football would lend itself to tell us that he has to carry it more, and, you know, try to continue to find ways to get both of them involved at the same time and in same package and whatever it may be.
Tajay Spears is who Mike Vrabel is referring to, and he'll be the second option behind Derrick Henry. He's a rookie out of Tulane. In my opinion, Derrick Henry should be your first option, your most frequent option, your best option. That's Derrick Henry. He's one of the highest paid running backs in the NFL for a reason. And he is unique. He is a load. He's fierce. He's tough. How often during the course of a season, I'd say at least 2-3 times a year, we get Derrick Henry stiff arms that embarrass defenders. Yeah, that's Derrick Henry. I don't care what else you have. I don't care if you have DeAndre Hopkins and you have Treylon Burks. I don't care what else you have, because Ryan Tannehill is not a better option than Derrick Henry. Now, teams will try to stuff the box, but that's never been an issue for Henry. He still does what he does. So use him. He is your bell cow. We'll get to a little bit of QB news coming up, so we'll leave some of that to the side. But while we're talking about running backs, J.K. Dobbins, of course, already suffered the torn Achilles and is out for the season. The Ravens, they're missing him.
He texted me last night after we texted back and forth and told me not to worry. He'll be back better and stronger than before. So his spirits will be good.
And so what will the Ravens do now to try to pick up the slack without JK. I've seen people talking about, well, actually, Jay dropped the Kareem Hunt name last night when we were doing the show. And there were a lot of people that were wondering if the Ravens might go outside the facility to try to bring in a new back.
I like the guys we got. Melvin is going to, you know, he's here for a reason. And certainly didn't expect it to be this quick, but that's why he's here. That's why he wanted to stay here, I think, because, you know, he likes it here, you know, and he likes the offense and he likes the environment. And he's a heck of a talented guy. You saw him in the preseason. He's a proven back. So I'm very, very glad that he's here.
He's referring to Melvin Gordon. And if I'm not mistaken, he was on the practice squad, right? And so now he's part of the active roster. So they're promoting him. And they'll do the running back by committee. And obviously Lamar Jackson, as much as they want to get away from him being the number one back, certainly is still an option when it comes to running the football for the Ravens. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. One more, because we're getting close to that point where everybody is back home. We still do have no resolution to the Jonathan Taylor situation, though he is with the Colts, but he's on IR. Chris Jones was not on the field with the Chiefs on Thursday Night Football, but he was in a suite watching. So he was there. I don't know if he was just invited to a suite. Actually, I read that he reserved a suite himself so he could be there for his team and he could be part of it. He wasn't isolating himself. He continued to work out. He just wanted a raise. And so the news dropped on Monday, and Ian Rappaport's got the details on NFL Game Day.
Big news, massive news for the Kansas City Chiefs. The team and star defensive tackle Chris Jones have converged to end his holdout. They've agreed to terms on a new one-year deal to replace what was already on the books, so no New Year's added for Chris Jones. The holdout is over. The holdout that, of course, took more than $2 million away from him in fines, also lost a game check for week one. He has the ability to make that and more back in incentives. Terms of that not fully out there yet, but certainly the incentives can take him past what he was already set to make. That said, the visual of Chris Jones sitting in the suite, flanked by his agents, the Katz brothers, that is no more. The Pro Bowler is going to be on the field for KC, which is big, big news for the champs.
Thank you, Ian Rappaport. Yeah, I would expect that we're going to see, if not major strides and major steps forward for every team that scuffled in week number one, we certainly are going to see different faces, different looks, different, I think, rhythm. And I would expect, typically, where the cream rises to the top, you're going to see that. Maybe it's slow to develop, but it's the same. You're not going to keep the Chiefs down. The Bengals are a really good team. Obviously, the Bills are much better than what we saw hours ago. Did you take the Monday MVP poll yet? It's still live. It's on Twitter. In fact, it's pinned to the top of our Twitter account, After Hours CBS. I also retweeted it not that long ago, A-Law Radio. On our Facebook page, too, who is your Monday MVP? And I think one of my favorite parts about the Monday MVP poll is that you all come up with write-in votes. And so we had a few of you. I'll confess, though, while I understand the Niners' defense, the Cowboys' defense, I understand a couple of others, like Tua, for instance, instead of Tyreek Hill. We don't ever put two players from the same game in the Monday MVP poll. But here's one I don't get. Dak. Someone suggested Dak. I mean, granted, the Cowboys bashed the Giants, sorry Jay, 40-0. But there was a special teams touchdown and a pick six before there was ever an offensive touchdown. And even when the Cowboys got into the end zone offensively, it was a lot of the run game and it was Tony Pollard. And I'm not saying Dak played poorly, but he wasn't the star of the show.
Don't be stupid.
So you can include your write-in vote, or you can take our poll, again, on Twitter or on our Facebook page. Also, a couple of photos up that have nothing to do with sports, but what I saw and had to stop and take a photo of as I was driving into work a few hours ago. If you're waking up on your Tuesday morning, whew, we made it through the first NFL weekend. And it wasn't just an NFL weekend. We did not have a chance last night or yesterday morning to talk about the U.S. Open championships for Novak Djokovic and Coco Gauff, history there. But how about college football, too? I want to sprinkle a little bit of that in. Coming up next hour, if you missed it, Sal Capaccio joined us live here on the show. So going back to our first hour, he had just landed in Buffalo with the team. So he flies on the team plane as their sideline reporter. And he had just landed back in Buffalo and joined us live on the show. And we talked to him about Monday Night Football and certainly about Josh Allen and how this can get fixed and some of the missed opportunities. We'll let you hear that because I know a lot of people in the Eastern time zone, including Western New York, upstate New York, will be waking up at different hours. Although, I don't know, Jets fans, were you able to sleep anyway? We have a colleague who works for a New York affiliate, does the morning show. And even before we started our show, he was tweeting that he might as well just take a shower and he was going to drive into work. At least he included the shower. He's just going to take a shower and drive to work. Why bother go to sleep? There was no point. That's what happens when you're in our business. Do you know, within 8 weeks of the season getting underway, sometimes 6 weeks, I start to dream about football? I know. It's sad. Wait till I tell Bob that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
I'm here to tell you about Pom Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
Can I get a refill, please?
No one wants to get sidelined by COVID-19, including me. I've got my work, my family. I want to be able to keep my plans. I'm getting this season's COVID-19 shot. It helps protect against COVID-19, which can cause severe illness and hospitalization. Learn about eligibility and schedule your COVID-19 shot on the CDC site vaccines.gov. Sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
Oh, look who's here.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Payoff pitch. Swung on, hit high and deep to left field. Schwarber going back on the track at the wall. Gone. Home run number 2. For Matt Olson tonight. There you go. Another winner. And that's home run number 50 for Matt Olson. Enjoy that trot, Matt. One away from the team record.
It's cool. Definitely a cool moment I can look back on. Got the ball. Actually, Schwarber was getting it from the fan, which is really cool. Respect that from him. But yeah, definitely a cool moment.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The understated Matt Olson, though not understated with his bat. It speaks volumes on the Braves Radio Network. He blasts home run number 49 and number 50 against the Phillies. So this was part of a doubleheader on Monday. And the first one actually banged off the upper deck. The second one was more of a slice, a golf shot, if you will. But Olson is now one shy of the all-time record for the franchise. Only Andrew Jones has more homers in a season with 51 going back to 2005. I'm not sure how Matt Olson doesn't get that. And don't accuse me of jinxing him because I don't believe in jinxes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Matt Olson, not that long an Atlanta Brave, just been a couple years. And certainly, they still talk about Freddie Freeman and reminisce about their former MVP. But Matt Olson has been an incredible addition to the Braves. And as we've talked about, as I've said now for weeks, there's no possible chance the Braves don't win the division title. They've already clinched a playoff berth, in case you didn't know that. Magic number is down into single digits. It's 4. So the Braves are into the postseason. Now, remember, they made it last year and got upset by the Phillies. Even though they had 101 wins, they didn't survive to the World Series again. But they've got a 15-game lead in the NL East. They will win the division. They're actually right now doing the work to possibly secure themselves best record, too, because the Dodgers are scuffling a bit. They're pitching, their bullpen, it's finding itself. It's going through a midlife crisis, if you will, in the stretch run. So the Dodgers are going to win the West, but I don't think they catch the Braves. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Over the weekend, the U.S. Open crowns were captured by an American and by a historian, if you will. Opposite ends of the spectrum, but Coco Gauff, the American teenager, falling behind, losing the first set to Sabalenka, who I believe is going to ascend to number one in the world now, so wasn't going into the tournament, but is now. She's had a great year and had a great start in the U.S. Open, but then Coco rallied, and sure, she had to capitalize on mistakes, and that's okay. That's part of sports, right? Didn't we just see it with the Jets capitalizing on the Bills' mistakes? But this goes back to Saturday afternoon in which she rallied, or Saturday evening in which she rallied and was able to capture her first ever Grand Slam singles title. And it's been quite a summer for Coco.
Honestly, thank you to the people who didn't believe in me. I mean, like a month ago, I won a 500 title and people said I would stop at that. 2 weeks ago, I won a 1,000 title and people were saying that was the biggest it was going to get. So 3 weeks later, I'm here with this trophy right now. you know, I've tried my best to carry this with grace and I've been doing my best. So honestly, to those who thought were putting water on my fire, you're really adding gas to it. And now I'm really burning so bright right now.
Congratulations to Coco. I love her spirit. She's obviously fierce and tenacious and full of fire and energy and an incredible talent. And mentally, she's talked about how the grind of the last month or even the last 6 weeks has prepared her for what she faced at the U.S. Open, which were the best opponents that she'll ever see at a Grand Slam. Of course, the heat, the humidity, longer matches where she had to go 3 sets. And a healthy spotlight as an American teenager. She is one who gets a lot of attention, especially at the U.S. Open on the hard courts. But I love that she makes a positive out of the doubters, out of the haters, if you will. And what was her source of inspiration at the U.S. Open?
My grandparents, the biggest one my grandfather says is never say die. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I was telling myself that, I wasn't going to give up after that first set. I come too far to do that. And my parents, my dad dreamed big, and he was wearing a shirt today that said, imagine.
Mm. Loved watching her parents in her matches and just how over the moon excited they were for her and how much they supported her. And it's a family affair for Coco. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, she achieves history as a 19-year-old. It's rare. Not a never thing. But, in fact, we saw Carlos Alcaraz on the men's side win his first major as a teenager. But opposite end of the spectrum is Novak Djokovic, who now has tied Margaret Court for the most Grand Slam singles titles of all time. And Margaret was a previous era, but she did win 24 of them. By far the most for the men. Remember, Rafa, Roger, they're behind him, but neither one of them will likely ever play again. And so here is Novak, who just continues to rack up these titles.
You gotta fight.
And he says it was a goal of his to get back to number one, even as he was winning 24.
I said on the court that my childhood goal was to win Wimbledon and be number one in the world, so that when I realized that, then obviously I had to set new goals, and kind of, because goals are important, you know, to motivate you so that you have clarity in your preparation, in your day-to-day. What do you do on a daily, on a weekly basis in order for you to actually reach the destination?
I love the idea of pursuing goals. I'll never win one of the half marathons that I run. Who knows if I ever actually get to my goal of running it in 2:10. That's my pie in the sky goal. That would be... yeah, that would be a huge challenge. But I keep setting the goal, and my base goal is run the whole thing without stopping. And it requires, this is why I run the 13 milers, because it requires both the mental toughness and pushing through multiple walls and multiple stretches of fatigue. 13 miles will never be easy for me, ever. But I agree with that. Set goals, and then you have something higher, grander, to achieve, something to pursue. And it's okay to try and fail. I actually will say to you, sometimes anything worth having is worth sacrificing for. I heard a twist on that recently. Anything worth having is worth failing for. That's deep, right? Because if you've ever pursued a dream, a goal, for any length of time, you recognize, especially if it's a lofty goal, you recognize that a lot of times you're going to try and you're going to fail and you're going to come up short. But it's not the end of the road unless you give up. And of course, Novak Djokovic was never going to do that. He was never going to give up. And here he is, after being denied entry into the U.S. last year to participate in the Open, as well as some of the run-up tournaments. He's back as a champion in New York.
People love comeback stories. I love them too. You know, they motivate me. Obviously, different circumstances, Australia and here. I haven't played any tournament on American soil for 2 years. And the last time I was here, I lost in the finals against the same player I beat today. And, I really did my best in the last 48 hours not to allow the importance of the moment and what's on the line get to my head.
I like to hear him. I like to hear his thoughtfulness, his thoughtful answers. Also like to hear him try to channel his inner Travis Kelce.
To party!
Woo! Woo is my favorite part. Because you know me, I love the woo! Little Ric Flair. Little Flair from the Flair.
Woo!
Woo! So congratulations to both Novak and Coco Gauff, who wrap up the Grand Slams on the tennis circuit. I mean, he's in incredible shape. And he's got this new rivalry with Carlos Alcaraz to give him some juice. He beat Daniil Medvedev on Sunday. And Daniil actually said, I should have won it. Oh, well, shoulda, woulda, coulda. Sorry the old man beat you again. And it's kind of funny now that Novak has become the old man. He's the old dude. But you know, on this show, we love the old dudes. They rock. They've come face to face with their own mortality in sports, and they take nothing for granted. And then there's history associated with it. That was supposed to be the case for Aaron Rodgers. 4 snaps. 4. Seriously. I can't believe it. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. On our Facebook page, too. Let's see. Coming up, maybe we'll do a little QB news. We'll sprinkle it in. Get to as much as we can. Wow. Do you feel that? The kind of the spirit? The first week of the NFL season is in the books. We survived. Some of us.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
What's up, everybody? I'm Danny Parkins, based out of Chicago. This is my buddy Andrew Filippone. He's based out of Pittsburgh. You really got to check out our podcast, First and Pod.
Twice a week, we're going to break down the NFL after Thursday Night Football and Sunday Night Football. It's every team. It's every game. It's all 32 teams. We give you a complete picture, and we get into it. We don't kiss each other's fannies on this show.
New episodes of First and Pod available when you wake up every Monday and Friday morning throughout the football season in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, well, well. Shopping for a car?
Yep. Carvana made financing a car as smooth as can be.
Oh, yeah?
I got pre-qualified instantly and had real terms personalized just for me.
Doesn't get much smoother than that.
Well, I got to browse thousands of car options on Carvana, all within my budget.
Doesn't get much smoother than that.
It does. I actually wanted a car that seemed out of my range, but I was able to add a cosigner and found my dream car.
It doesn't get much...
Oh, it gets smoother. It's getting delivered tomorrow.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get pre-qualified today.
Murray back to throw, and it is. Is it tossed? Oh my goodness, it's caught! DeAndre Hopkins caught it!
Dapper from under center, steps back, throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp's got it! Touchdown, LA!
Burrow back to throw, looking, firing deep for Chase in the end zone.
Oh,
he's got it!
Yes!
Touchdown! Joe Burrow and the Bengals!
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught! Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hand off to Eckler again. No, Herbert keeps it. End zone, touchdown, Chargers! Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the 5. Into the end zone, touchdown, Buffalo! Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Is in the books, which means there will be QB news, and we'll get back to the Aaron Rodgers at the top of the hour. But off the top, the Jets now fear a potential season-ending Achilles injury. He is scheduled for an MRI on Tuesday. He was gone from the stadium before the game was done. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Let's dive right in with Zach Wilson, who Robert Saleh says is their ride or die if Aaron Rodgers is, well, not quite in those words, if Aaron Rodgers is not available. And Zach believes he's more equipped now to lead the Jets as their starting QB because of his time working with Aaron Rodgers the last couple months.
A lot more prepared, a lot more prepared. And you know, the hardest part is now putting it into a game, and I got to be able to do that. And so going into this week, it's applying everything that, you know, he's kind of helped walk us through and being able to watch him and the coaches, how they've handled this offense. You know, I got to be able to handle that efficiently.
Yeah, certainly helps for the Jets that they got 13 points off turnovers. Josh Allen ties his career high, 4 giveaways. Last time it happened against the Jets as well. And we've heard this tone from Josh before.
Trying to force the ball. Yeah, same shit. Same place, different day. I hurt our team tonight. I cost our team tonight. And it feels eerily similar to last year, and I hate that it's the same.
Yeah, Josh Allen had a brutal game, but the Jets are familiar with this and how to get to him. They sack him 5 times. They force him into a bunch of mistakes, and they were still hanging around there in overtime. There is no more Tom Brady in the AFC East, though. He was back on the field at Gillette Stadium to be honored at halftime on Sunday and apparently had a chance to talk to a bunch of the current Pats.
I said, just make sure you leave it all out there, because you just never want to have one drop left and think, oh, everyone's down there playing and I'm sitting up here and I still feel like I could do it. And, you know, I don't feel like that. I feel like I'm just super content with my decision, where I'm at in life.
I don't feel like that. Just in case you were speculating about Tom Brady coming out of retirement again to take over as the quarterback of the New York Jets. That's from his Let's Go podcast. We'll hear more coming up next hour, including Peyton Manning on not just seeing Aaron Rodgers go down, but also on Tom Brady as his friend. I don't know about BFF, but definitely as his friend. All right, turning our attention to the NFC East. Daniel Jones and the Giants scored no points against the Cowboys defense on Sunday night, but Micah Parsons on the edge actually believes there's a lot more that DJ has to offer.
Daniel Jones is not a bad quarterback. I know. Some of you may think that he is a bad quarterback and why resign him. You have to remember, Daniel Jones just went against top three defensive teams in the league. They're still learning to gel together. He's still learning how to be the guy. It's only his second year with Brian DeBoer, so he gets grace. I think nowadays we don't give the same grace as we do with guys like Peyton Manning when they came into the league.
Is that bulletin board material, DeBoer? Brian DeBoer? I like it. It's like when the new owners of the Broncos didn't know how to pronounce Roger Goodell's name, and the guy called him Goodell. Roger Goodell. Yeah, that's Micah Parsons on the edge. Good for you, Micah. Also in the NFC East, Sam Howell and the Washington Commandos barely survived the Arizona Cardinals upset bid on Sunday. A win is a win is a win is a win.
Obviously a lot of adversity and a lot of things that didn't go our way. You know, that's just stuff like that's going to happen. Obviously, you want to try to limit those things, but stuff like that in football is going to happen. And, you know, we have a very resilient group, and it's never about what happened. It's always about what's next. That's been the mentality of our offense, so we'll continue to do that.
It's one of those things where you're never as bad as you think and never as good as you think. You know, there are some really good things that happened. There was some really good rhythm stuff that was on. And then there were some things that were just kind of like, ooh, why'd you do that? You know, so – I know he spent time this morning looking at the tape, sitting down with EB and Tavita and Kenny and going over those things and just kind of getting a little, corrections on those things.
EB being Eric Bieniemy. Yeah, Sam Howell had a fumble after a sack that was returned by Cam Thomas for the go-ahead touchdown by the Cardinals late in the second quarter, so they had to climb out of a hole. Lots of survivor pool picks that were riding on that game, including mine. Let's see, Jonathan Gannon, speaking of Arizona, he was asked about Josh Dobbs and whether or not he'll remain the starter in week 2.
Yeah. I'm excited about seeing what he does this week.
Oh, me too. So excited. In the NFC West, it's clear that the San Francisco 49ers are the most locked in from week number 1. Alex Smith, former Niners quarterback. What do you like about Brock Purdy?
I just think he's built for this team, this coaching staff, this, you know, the Shanahan offense. I think he's got the traits that he's looking for. You know, a guy that can process at the line of scrimmage before and after the snap, the guy that's got a great release. He's incredibly accurate. He's got enough playmaking ability and athleticism to make some plays when things aren't there in rhythm. And again, the pressure's off of him. In this offense, with this run game and these playmakers, you just really have to be the point guard. Just go out there and distribute the football. And if the play is to check the ball down to Christian McCaffrey, you feel pretty good doing that. If the play is to throw the flat route to George Kittle, you feel pretty good doing that in this offense. And so it's nice as a quarterback knowing you don't have to force the big play.
So that's Alex Smith, who, of course, was the Niners' overall number one pick in 2005, same draft as Aaron Rodgers. Remember, he finally got moved from the green room because He had fallen, it slipped and slipped until the Packers moved up to get him at number 25. Was it 25? 25 overall? No, 24. 24 overall. Speaking of Aaron, we'll have an update after the top of the hour. And Alex Smith, by the way, on SiriusXM NFL Radio. Good morning to you. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Your challenge, if you choose to accept it, is this.
Let's go! Let's go!
Show up on day one, work out with us for 30 minutes, feel good right away.
Yo!
Repeat 5 days a week for 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
Five workouts a week.
We're a body, and we call that a body block.
You pick the block, and you're going to love the experience.
On week four, this part is really important. Take the week off. Seriously, we mean it. Rest. Go on vacation. Or try something new. Maybe some yoga.
Notice you're not holding on to any tension here.
Or a dance class.
Get sexy with it, daddy.
You do you. And then start again.
Be committed to this process.
Choose a new body block each month. Get a new challenge each month. Have fun every day. Avoid burnout.
You're not going to quit on yourself today.
This is how you reach your goals. You in?
There is nothing that we can't do if we work together.
Sign up for your first body block today. Visit body.com for a free trial. That's BODI.com.
Are you ready to get started?